RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Well, Thursday morning means Money Talks, and this is the last official Money Talks chat before we're done, end of the year 2024. And Louis Bollinger is back with us, retired actuary and founder and director of Louis Bollinger Now Limited, LB Now. He's a chartered financial analyst and a fellow of the CFA Society of New Zealand, an award he received in 2022 for his services to the industry. His specialty is gold. Louis, welcome back to our Money Talks. Thanks for coming on.
Pleasure.
All right. What a list to work through right at the end of the year. Just when you thought you could put your feet up and relax, Syria falls. WTF? Wow. Eh?
Yes. Well, I laugh, but I mean, it's pretty outrageous what just happened. I mean, nobody saw it coming. Absolutely nobody. Obviously, other than those who managed the regime changed.
Planned it, yeah.
Planned it. I mean, obviously, the best explanation I've come to at this point was Colonel McGregor, who seems to have suggested that the generals of the Syrian army were bought.
Yeah, I heard that too, and I think you can make a logical, joining of the dots, let's say, in that case.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, this plays into the, obviously Israel, but the hegemon's plans for the region to maintain control. You know, money was behind the whole thing. I think is the unfortunate conclusion I've come to.
Money in terms of resources available.
Money in terms of corruption and paying the generals and to step down. I don't think it had anything to do with Assad.
He seemed to have given up, hadn't he? People are saying he'd sort of lost the will, and his wife, I think, is ill.
Yeah.
And it's like, I've had enough. I'm out of here, you know.
And you cannot blame him. I mean, it's been, close to 20 years of sanctions. The economy was, you know, not what. And then the Americans are still there just siphoning all their oil and giving it to Israel or whatever. So, you can't blame him personally, but it's very, very sad for the Syrians and Syria. And there's no way this new country, if it stays a country, is going to be a better place. I mean, look what happened to other places where the U.S. was behind a regime change of some sort of collapse, like, you know, in Iraq or Libya. Anyway, no, that's geopolitics, and I'm not an expert, but I watched this and I can't help but think to myself that, you know, there's a whole lot more going on than we'll ever know. So many double standards in full view here. Israel already occupying and invading basically Syria. I think they've almost reached Damascus at this point. What is going on?
I think here's an idea. And it probably in this sort of thinking is a perfect way to do it. So Trump said we eliminated ISIS. Well, clearly that wasn't the case.
No.
They've been stacked away in a place just waiting to be useful to others. You do a deal with the generals and the hierarchy of the Syrian army and defense forces, so they all dissolve away as these useful idiots, let's call them, sweep through the country and have their day in the sun where they're shooting off the weapons and all that sort of stuff, and maybe some quick reprisals here and there. And then Israel and the U.S. come in, Russia go out, and they just wipe them all out.
Yeah, well, that's not far from the truth, I'm sure, but Russia is not out. They're still there, and the strangest thing of all is that the so-called friendly terrorists now, or whatever they want to...
friendly terrorists is a new category.
Right. Have said that they won't touch their base, their naval base and over there. But why?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because they know they could be wiped out, and Russia, it might be helpful to be friends with Russia. I mean, what do I know? But
Yeah, exactly. Well, meanwhile,
it's all up for grabs.
Yep. Meanwhile, Russia is progressing in Ukraine, and all of this is ongoing. It's a very dangerous world out there, and you know, it's very unpredictable. And unfortunately, I don't really have answers. But as far as I'm concerned, and what I specialize in, I tell all my clients, just you have to protect yourself, because we have no idea where even the monetary system is going. And on that front, I mean, Russell Napier, who's a professor at Edinburgh Business School, who is very well followed, and in fact, a lot of institutional investors subscribe to his research, and he's just written an article in an elitist or establishment magazine called American Affairs, outlining what he sees should be the new monetary system emerging now that China has just announced that they're going to, if not free float the renminbi, just end their managed currency peg. So that's going to create havoc on the currency markets when that starts, and all kinds of things we can't even predict. So it's very difficult to, and Trump is coming along with tariffs to I'm sure he saw, you know, he was aware of this plan from the Chinese, and you know, tariffs will try and circumvent the advantages of a lower currency from China. Currency wars, you know, it's just what does the New Zealand dollar do?
We start digging for gold is what we do, and we pile it up as much as we can, right?
Well, that will be the day. That will be the day. You know, the World Bank recently did a study and a survey of all central banks in the world. You know, there's no letting of purchases of gold by central banks in general. I mean, not all central banks. We know our own doesn't have any interest or doesn't express any interest in gold, but banks, central banks are still buying, and they're planning to buy more. I mean, this much was even published by their survey. I mean, it was the World Gold Council, I'm sorry. But the World Bank recommends central banks to have, I think it's 18 or 22% of their reserves, their foreign exchange reserves, in gold. That's a recommendation of the World Bank. I mean, and on average, I think on average it's about 15 or 16 if you take all central banks. But here we have zero. And so, yeah, you know, individuals can be their own central banks.
they can still go
and buy gold.
Well, I don't know if you caught up with an interview we had a few weeks ago now, Jeremy Corden of Goldback. It's a currency that he's invented using a production process which it doesn't shave off. It's far more of a sort of like almost an atomic process that some woman's invented. Shaves off gold and laminates it kind of in a polymer note.
An exact weight,
real gold in the note. It can fold like a note and go into your wallet, all that sort of stuff. And you can value it on the amount of gold in the note, which is exact down to a sort of nano measurement. That might be something that
I don't know.
Goes somewhere.
I don't find that particularly attractive, but, you know, because people don't even hold cash in their wallets anymore, so why would they hold that? But hey, anything that encourages or facilitates people allocating some of their investable wealth into gold is good. But beware of fakes, or beware of.
Oh yeah, this is legit. Otherwise, we wouldn't have had. But you're right.
Generally, I'm saying I don't know about this particular one, but I've seen quite a few over the years, and some are very legitimate and very, very worthwhile ways.
When we spoke to him, he had $74 million in those notes in circulation.
What country was he based?
U.S.
Okay.
Yeah. So people could buy the notes.
Well, Well, that's great. That's great.
Anyway, I just mentioned it because it's gold and it's an alternative. In these sort of times, though, because we have we had times like this before, it seems to be cutting up so rough compared to, you know, the legacy. How in danger are the, you know, institutions, financial institutions, everything that we thought was solid, how in danger do they get or potentially can they get in these situations where people can start to really lose stuff? Or it takes so long to claw it back that, you know, I hope it happens in my lifetime kind of thing.
Well, you're probably referring to banks when you say financial institutions.
Banks, you know, just even the Middle East, you know, the resource out of there that we'd be interested in is petroleum. What if that becomes really hard to get or hard to have supplied? Is an example.
Well, that generates a lot of inflation if that happens, you know, because we all need to buy oil or need oil for various purposes. Well, let's hope it doesn't get to that point, but there's inflation is baked into the cake in any event. And how does anyone protect themselves from the debasement of their currency, which is what all central banks are involved in by, you know, generating inflation and aiming for inflation. In fact, even though they will say they are aiming for stable prices, they're aiming for 2-3% or more inflation. So, how does one protect oneself from that? Well, yeah. You know, this year to date, gold's up 40% in New Zealand terms. Now, that's in New Zealand dollar terms.
Yeah.
I mean, in U.S. dollar terms, it's 30%. So our own currency here has depreciated close to 10% relative to the U.S. dollar this year. I'm not an expert on fiat currencies directions. I think they're all going down relative to each other. It's always difficult to point which one's going down fastest, but it's at various speeds, but they're all going down relative to gold, real money. But, you know, this year, the New Zealand dollar has been falling, you know, from 63 or thereabouts at the beginning of the year to 58 cents US.
Yeah, tell me about it.
And you know, it doesn't seem like much, but, you know, I looked across 10 currencies that I follow around the globe, and New Zealand has been the weakest of those 10 currencies this year. So why is that? I mean, there could be a number of reasons, but generally, if you go back since, you know, the dollar has been free-floating here, like, say, in mid-80s or thereabouts, New Zealand has always needed higher interest rates than other countries in order to attract capital, in order to have, you know, basically the associated risk premium with New Zealand ticked off. You know, we're happy with, you know, this price. Yeah. And we don't have higher interest rates now here. And
it's more difficult then to attract the...
That's right.
The money.
It's more difficult to attract foreign investment, and it's not. Indications are that interest rates are more likely to continue falling.
Right.
And so, and we know the reason for that. It's because, you know, banks need to lend to people who want to buy houses, and it's a lot easier to do with lower interest rates or whatever.
I don't know why anyone would want to buy a house right now.
Well, exactly. I mean, the idea of doing well is to buy low and sell high, and you don't buy high and sell low. No. But anyway,
there might be a few, but yeah, they'll find out.
Yes, yes. So I mean, what backs the New Zealand dollar? I mean, there is the New Zealand dollar, like any other fiat currency, is undefined. It's relative to other currencies. You can only exchange a dollar for another dollar, but of course, its purchasing power is based on the faith that everyone has on the central bank and the ability of the country to pay its debt. So it's not the end of the New Zealand dollar. I'm not suggesting that for an instant, but you can see what is happening to it by looking at what the gold price is doing, because it's not a price. It's just an exchange rate. It's just an exchange rate. You exchange, you know, one form of money for another, and that's the exchange rate, you know, what's called the price in that currency.
Yeah, I had to pay a $500 US bill the other day, and it was nearly 900 Kiwi.
Yeah, wow.
Put the fee in there, you know?
Yes, yes.
So that's how I found out where things are at the moment.
Gold shouldn't be that rewarding. It should not be a rewarding.
Well, it tells you what's wrong with the other.
That's right. That's ways all of it doing does. Things. It tells you the system is near the end. I mean, Russell Napier's paper was. I read it twice so far to try and understand it all.
Yeah.
But I still don't. But basically, what he's saying is that there needs to be a new. The debt is too large. That when you include all the debt, not just the sovereign nation's debt, like the U.S. federal government's debt, or our own government's debt, or Canada's debt, or Australia's, but the people's. If you add it all up, especially the G7 countries, debt to GDP ratios are pretty much all over 300%. That's a nightmare. Okay, so how do we address that? The only, you know, he's written about this many times, but this time he goes into much more detail about, you know, how you address that down. And last time the U.S. had to do that was after the Second World War. And so they engaged in financial repression for a decade plus.
Oh, financial repression. Is that actually a thing?
It is a thing, Paul. It's a very nasty thing. And it's a bit like inflation. It's, you know, don't see it very much. But let me try and describe the elements of what consists of financial repression. It basically means that inflation is higher than interest rates, first and foremost. So, you know, you're not getting rewarded for the money you have at the bank in real terms. That's the first thing.
Well, you'd be losing it all the gain, wouldn't you?
What's that?
You'd be losing all your gain if inflation was higher than interest rates.
Well, let's say inflation is 7% and interest rates are 4%.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're losing 3%, and that's even before tax or fees or whatever.
But you think you're saving.
But you think you're saving. Yeah, because it's a positive number, right?
It's perfect. Yeah.
But that's just one element. There are a number of other things that need also to happen at the same time for financial repression to work in terms of reducing the debt to GDP percentage. And that's higher growth. So if you have growth is in nominal terms is all that's necessary for that ratio to fall. So if you have high inflation, you can have a higher nominal growth without necessarily having a high growth. But most importantly, capital controls are likely to be reintroduced. You know, it's not that long ago. I think it was just a few years before I came to New Zealand. I think it ended in 1981 or 1982. There was a requirement in New Zealand for all investment funds, whether it was or insurance company reserves, or to have 41% of their assets in government stock. So what was called government stock, you know, the bonds issued by the New Zealand government, 41%. And so you have other forms of compulsion. In many countries over the years that financial repression existed, like in the 50s, where citizens were encouraged or coerced to buy the government debt at very low interest rates. And there are other elements, but financial repression basically means that we could be looking at the end of free movement of capital. You know, and think of this wonderful new expression that the central bank has come up with for CBDCs, you know, digital cash.
Yeah.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
That's a great way of selling it if you don't want to, if you want to disguise what it really means.
They weren't doing very well with CBDCs, you know, and that's been pretty much, you know, hit on its head. So now they're calling it digital cash. And you know, I almost get offended when I look at Reserve Bank of New Zealand material that they release to the public to explain these things. They seem to be prepared for school kids, you know, or
Oh, no, they think we're all morons.
We're all morons. You know, yeah.
They've done a focus group. They've done a focus group, and it's told them that we're all morons. It's clear what's happened.
You're right. Well, it is clear by looking or even reading anything that they release. It's really insulting, I find. New Zealand used to have an excellent central bank. Yeah. I don't think it exists anymore. No.
Former central bankers, by the way, will tell you that.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, I don't remember why I headed in the direction of digital cash, but that's...
Well, that's under the financial repression, you know?
Well, it's the control, you know? If you,
yeah.
So it's important to think about not being all in, not being all in, a bit like think of a poker table, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Most people are all in the system, you know, not thinking that there's anything wrong.
Kenny Rogers and the Gambler. If you remember the words to that, you should be okay. You should be able to protect yourself. It's clear, though, the Reserve Bank is saying two things. Obviously, they've got CBDC in mind, but also they're releasing surveys just the last day or so, you know, and kind of squawking it loud. Excuse me. Kind of squawking it loud that, you know, Kiwis still want cash.
Yes. That's why they call it digital cash, you see.
Isn't that like talking out each side of your mouth at the same time? Isn't that what that is?
No, but you see the subtlety? They call it
cash. They're linking the two together.
Yeah.
So they can seamlessly...
very different, you know, because the other expression is central.
Bank. we don't like central.
Digital so currencies.
We're not getting rid of cash. It's just digital cash.
Now, ask yourself, do we need that? We're happy with cash as it is, right? I mean, we already have digital money. I mean, I hardly ever have cash with me.
Well, that's the cover, though, because people, when they hear of digital money, they say or think exactly what you've just said. We've already got it anyway, so that's nothing new or whatever. But they haven't thought what the next step is.
That's right, because the addition of so-called digital cash, central bank cash, it's an account with the central bank. That's what is not even written in the new document they've released that I kicked myself multiple times to keep reading to the end. It doesn't even make it clear that instead of having an account at a commercial bank for this digital cash, your account will. It doesn't even mention an account with the central bank, but it's a central bank account. But you can deposit or reposit or have this digital cash with other, you know, they're introducing the concept of other entities than banks.
So yeah, which means them.
You know, but there is nobody's crying for this. Oh, but I think, you know, they dug deep and they say, well, it's good for people who have disabilities, who can't, you know, don't like the existing system. You won't need the internet. Well, I don't know about that. You know,
you need some sort of connection to something.
Yeah, you need some sort of connection, don't you?
Yeah.
If it's digital. Yeah,
I love the way they trade on either sympathy or laziness.
Oh, on that front, in terms of you need some kind of internet. Maybe not, because I can't remember where in all my digging for trying to figure out what their plans are. I remember someone saying that they saw one central bank somewhere, was it the Bank of England, probably, implants. So implants. Oh, if you have implants, you don't need any internet anymore.
Is that Sweden or something? That's biblical now.
Right.
What, right hand or the forehead? Where's it going to be? And you can't buy, sell, or trade without it. Okay, I've heard that somewhere before. All right, so, we're keeping an eye on gold, obviously. 40%, that's huge in terms
of... Well, it is. You can't ignore it. That's the elephant value in the room. Advisors are just completely ignoring gold to their, I think, potentially detriment. Clients will, you know, wonder why they haven't recommended gold this year. And I'm not saying that it's going to do 40% next year, but I don't expect it to go down.
All right, yeah. Well, people can find out more by getting in touch with you Tell us again, Louis, the best place for folk to contact you.
Well, my website, lbnow.co.nz.
And
then I'm on LinkedIn, but you'll get my contact details there. L for Louis, B for Boulanger, or if you prefer, L for Long, B for Bullion. Long Bullion Now.
All right. I thought you were going to give us the phonetic alphabet. What's that? Lima, Bravo, November, Oscar, Whiskey.co.nz. So in your gut, everything you know, 2025 is going to be what?
Oh, boy. It's going to be a wild ride, I think. And that's probably the main reason why you want to be prudent. And owning some or having some of your investable assets in gold is prudent, no matter what your advisors tell you. Don't put all your eggs in one basket, including gold. That's for sure. It's like Bitcoin. I mean, Bitcoin, sure, look, study it, look, and, you know, have some, but don't think it's going to be the answer. I mean, central banks are not replacing their gold reserves for Bitcoin reserves.
No.
Sure, there might be an emergence of some sort of semblance of Bitcoin. Who knows the future in that respect? But, you know, what is playing out in geopolitics is more currency wars and therefore more debasement of currencies, and you need to protect your purchasing power. So the simplest way is just to get physical gold.
Get physical, like Olivia Newton-John. Physical.
Let's get physical.
I'd like to see you in one of those outfits. Not. You certainly don't want to see me in one of them, I can tell you that.
Right.
All right, Louis, great to catch up. Thanks for your contributions through the second part of the year, because that's when we've had you on Money Talks. Have a great holiday, a great 2025. Look forward to chatting again then, okay?
Yeah, you too, Paul. All the best and have a good break.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers, and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.